This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Monday, 8th of August, 2022. Markets trying to get interesting on Friday. Let's look at to what degree they succeeded. We did see interest rates, treasury yields popping higher, especially at the front end of the U.S. yield curve in the wake of that very strong U.S. jobs report. Brief recap, it was 500 plus on the non-farm payrolls change, and we saw the average hourly earnings up a little bit more than expected, 5.2% on the year-on-year, even despite a slight upward revision of the average hours worked. And then the unemployment rate ticking down slightly, but the participation rate also did likewise. So again, there's a little bit of a discombobulation there, if you will, in the difference between the household survey and that establishment survey used for the non-farm payrolls change. As well, there was an interesting angle on this, and we'll have to investigate a bit further the idea that some of that discrepancy may be down to some people needing income and working multiple jobs, which would show up as two jobs on the establishment survey, but in the household survey would only show up as one job. So we'll have to look at that. But regardless, as indicated, the reaction in yields was higher. This really kind of challenged the equity market, where you have this upside down world of higher yields are something to be provide pressure at times in this market. So we did see a dip post that data, especially the interest rate sensitive names. But by the end of the day, sort of scraping back towards unchanged in the S&P 500, whereas the NASDAQ 100 was a bit more negative. The patterns across the equity themes, as you can see on slide two in our equity theme baskets, not a very strong theme. Something like a surprise to see our bubble stocks basket didn't do that bad on the day. In fact, it was up 1% despite a name like Tesla having a very ugly day of it on Friday. But you can see that there was a very strong performance in this energy storage and some of the renewable energy names as well. This in part on the passage of that Biden climate and healthcare and tax bill, which will give some support to the industry. So where are we in terms of technicals? We've talked quite a bit about where this rally may peter out. And it's a bit surprising it held up so well given that jump in yields. Look at the trend line there in the NASDAQ 100. We're sort of at that trend line. But above that, I think it's really about that 200-day moving average. And I've circled it, the two red circles circling where it is now on the right, or falling towards the 14,000 level. And then back in the March-April timeframe, that was the resistance at that time. I'm blabbing on a little bit too long here. Ulu, we've got you on the call. Welcome back from holiday, adjusting to time zones from Asia, where you were on holiday. But we were talking about before the podcast here that we could be at an interesting inflection point for commodities. I would guess, especially in terms of where inflation is headed, and we have key inflation data up this week, the crude oil market. We've seen quite a slide there on, I suppose, mostly on the demand side, but there has been some supply news of late as well.
Indeed, John. Generally, weakness across the board for the past several weeks now. But as you also mentioned, I think we are getting close to some key support levels here, and also just basically whether how much more the market can take in terms of selling, given the economic outlook. You mentioned oil prices, and yes, we have returned to 95 in Brent. It's still holding up reasonably well. The market is clearly focusing on the demand outlook, has forgotten a little bit about supply, which remains tight, where OPEC struggling to increase production. SPR releases from the US, which will not carry on forever. They've been almost releasing 1 million barrels a day now for many weeks. That will eventually pause in a month's time or so. So there's all just adding up to a market, I believe, that's starting to find its footing here. I think we are at or near the lows here. But clearly, a lot of focus on the demand outlook in the short term, and there's been actually some interesting comments going on. You mentioned this morning as well on the call that there are some accusations that the demand data on gasoline in the U.S. right now is not being reported accurately. If you want to add some more to that, John.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to think about this, because I can't tell you that the EIA in the U.S. is lying about their data. But there's been an accusation from oilprice.com. Don't generally know them to be a big ginning up these types of stories if they're not have some kind of source or some kind of reason for doing so. But there was a private data source indicating the weekly figures were positive, and the EIA reporting a big demand drop. I will say the EIA figures are very volatile, and I suspect it's because of some data collection situation there. It could be a bit volatile from week to week, but clearly that demand, the official data the official weekly demand series is considerably lower than where we were in 2019 pre-pandemic. So there is some, according to the official data, there is some lower demand levels compared to back then.
Yeah, we'll see how over the coming weeks, because as you say, John, it's a very volatile number, and normally the market tends to watch the 4-week average just to get some of these weekly volatility smoothed out. But most certainly one we need to keep an eye on. But just to finish off the first part of the commodity section from a helicopter perspective, I just put in on slide 5 the weekly speculative interest held by money managers, and we have actually seen in recent weeks quite a big drop. Speculative length, the net length across 24 major commodities has dropped to the lowest in 26 months. So we wiped out positions held all the way back to the low point of the pandemic back in early 2020. And as you can see on the chart, back then the Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index was trading well below 300. As an index, we peaked above 650, and we're currently around 575. So with that in mind, given the elevated levels of commodities still and the speculative interest, if we are seeing any renewed pickup in prices, then there will be some response from speculative traders in terms of new buying. Just the main changes last week was quite a strong return buying interest in metals. Some of these, the whole sector has turned net short in recent weeks. Last week, gold was the first one to flip back into a net long. But as you can see on the table there, it's a relatively subdued long, and that just best to highlight that right now the investor sentiment remains weak. ETF holdings has been dropping as well, and I think it all boils down to the fact that market is still trying to, well, market for now believes the Fed's ability to curb inflation while not hurting the economic outlook too much, and that really is the tightrope that they are walking right now, and one that will determine where these markets are going. But for now, we're stuck around that 1780 level on gold, as you can see on slide 6. We really need to take out that 1800 level to attract some additional buying, and that will also take out the downtrend we had since March this year.
Yeah, I like your calling it a tightrope the market is walking, because it really is quite interesting to see the reaction function with that U.S. data last week. ISM services survey for July, very strong, especially relative to expectations. And then a very strong U.S. jobs report, bumping yields higher, but the market hanging on, whether it's walking a tightrope or I would say almost like a terrier dog holding onto its view here, that and even with Fed guidance over the weekend from a Fed voter, Michelle Bowman, saying, look, the Fed's going to go 75 basis points in September. We just have a market that is willing to mark up that short-term rate tightening outlook for the Fed. So we got about a 10 basis point addition to where the Fed will end up this year in terms of the rate, around 3.5 or slightly above is where the market is priced right now for the end of 2022. But still very persistent in marking that the Fed is going to be cutting rates certainly by mid next year, because of whether it's due to a sort of Goldilocks situation where the economy is softening just slightly without any major disruptions. Regardless, that longer yield very sort of underpinned, even though we did bump quite a bit higher late on the Friday jobs report. So, but with that pattern, in other words, short rates being marked considerably higher, with a curve inversion for the twos to tens of minus 40 basis points, the worst since the early 1980s, or the most inverted the curve has been since the early 1980s, is minus 50 basis points in 2000. So this is a pretty remarkable inversion. And it is the market holding on to that view. So the very fascinating thing would be, of course, if those inflation expectations become unanchored, as some fear they will be, and the more inflationista side of the equation is looking at and argues is happening versus the deflationists that believe that we're going to revert back to inflationary outcomes. We're more on the inflationista side also because of the eventual policy response. And you're seeing that in places with, for example, in France, subsidies for households to be able to operate at the lower end, which means that demand does not get destroyed as it would need to be if you're going to have energy, if energy prices are to come down in Europe. And I'm sure you'll be addressing that energy situation, which is very dire in Europe as we head towards winter in coming podcasts a little bit. Elsewhere in the FX market, really muted reaction in terms of the US dollar. Yes, it did go higher, but we're still stuck in a range in euro dollar, very, very tight range for going on 3 weeks now. Dollar yen a bit more dynamic because of the move in yield. So we saw that popping over two figures higher from the lows on Friday. Key resistance there, as I show on slide four, 61.8% retracement just ahead of 136. Still, if you don't, you know, go all the way back towards the highs and then sort of sustain some price action up towards the highs just ahead of 140, it's still a bearish structure here, but you do need a pattern reversal to sort of confirm that outlook. So 61.8% retracement is a key level there. Obviously, all eyes on yields. Okay, as we have this week with the earnings season winding down, there are fewer names reporting, and I have the overview there on slide eight. There are quite a number of names there, but most of the big ones have reported. We do have Disney up on Wednesday, but we'll have Peter talking about the earnings reports and releases this week in coming days. He is away for today's podcast. But you highlighted one story or a couple stories, or at least no, there's one story about BHP here on slide seven, Ola, talking about this move, what ESG and something like this big climate bill in the US, what it's doing in terms of companies that are looking to invest in this alternative energy future.
Indeed, John, and with the it's basically the industrial metal space, because we know by now, obviously, it is a key contributor in a sector that is really in strong, will see strong demand from that transitions towards electric vehicle and clean energy over the coming years. The market has suffered quite a significant setback in recent months, primarily driven by the slowdown in China. That seems to be reversing somewhat. At least the data, recent data from China, has shown perhaps a demand situation not as weak as the market had anticipated. And copper, as a result, has moved higher. But the news overnight was really for the long term reasons. I would say for holding industrial metal exposure, BHP. Went out on a major M&A hunt for OZ Minerals. The bid was rejected, but OZ Minerals jumped 39% overnight. They are looking to build their portfolio of mining production capabilities within something like copper and nickel. So I think we should keep an eye on the mining sector today. That potentially could just be a bit of a wake up call to a sector that really has been under pressure recently. And just to finish off on copper, as you can see, the correction was very deep, but it did stop exactly where it should do in order to still stay alive. And that was around that 314 level a few weeks back. And we're now hovering above 350. We need to take out 360. We are fairly close to that, but 360 to the upside could signal additional strength coming back into the market.
All right. Let's have a look at the macro calendar for the rest of the week. Today being a Monday, it's pretty quiet out there. So let's see a couple of sentiment data points out overnight from the consumers and for the NAB, the Business Condition Survey out of Australia overnight as well for their Tuesday. The rest of the week, the big focus here on that U.S. July CPI, expected to drop down to 8.7% on the headline versus that 9.1% year-on-year print for June. And the core, however, continuing to rise a bit or rising back a bit. It has been higher towards 6.1% from 5.9 versus 5.9% in June. The month-on-month, it will probably be the focus there on the core, 0.5% expected after a bigger 0.7% jump in June. So I think that's a big data release of the week. However, just given how the market has reacted to these data points, I mean, we had the market really getting beaten over the head to the maximum degree possible last week in terms of, again, the ISM services survey, the jobs report being strong, a key Fed figure out saying we're going to go 75 at the September meeting. And the market is just really persistent in its view. So to me, it feels just like either there has to be intervention from some massive new source of risk, something geopolitical or otherwise, or it's just simply about animal spirits and whether those roll over for whatever reason, because we, to my mind, given the backdrop, geopolitical risks, what the Fed is saying, the market complacency looks quite remarkable here. Let's see if that view is borne out as we progress through the rest of this week. For today, that's a wrap, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.